almost forgot! Hey! Jaw! Who's saving it for a good time?
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the radio program. Dirt and Sprague. Alan and Craig, Alan and Braden, Andy and Brandon.
Hello. No, there is not a gas leak in the studio. We're just having fun on a Friday.
Somebody asked if there's a gas
leak. Somebody asked if there's a gas leak, yeah.
Maybe.
There could be. I don't think you would know if there was a gas leak. That's the hard part about gas leaks.
I don't think we'd be coming back from a break at some point.
Probably not, yeah. You just hear bumper music play, and then it would stop.
Died in the well.
Yeah, what happened?
Poll question is up. Which owner would you rather have, Matt Ishbia or the Vulcans / Jody Allen? One doesn't talk at all. One, very loud, proud, telling you, chip your chips around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it has not been great for Ishbia. There's no doubt about it. But I don't question his desire to win. Now, his desire to win does not mean that you will win. It does not mean you're guaranteed to accomplish anything in this league. He might get in his own way over and over and over again and keep firing coaches every 4 months. But I don't question at all what his number one priority and desire is to do, and that is to win championships.
So I thought this was a good point by one of our listeners. At least the ownership is speaking. Engaging with media and hopefully fans, silence provides no outcome other than speculation.
How do you feel about this? What does the future look like of your ownership? What are your priorities for the next couple of years? Is there a goal that is put on this organization for next year? Is it playing? Is it 40 wins? Is it 500? What are the expectations? What are the goals?
See, on the expectation part, too, I don't think we're going to be able to pin that down unless Cronin and Billups have conversations like around summer league time. Because I've already heard that they seemed a little split on even what next year expectations are.
They did not want to put a bar too high, which was essentially from our buddy Bill Orme at the Oregonian, the play-in. Isn't that the goal? Yeah. And he was like, well, not, yeah. And
my view of it is that Cronin's goal is play-in, Billups is play-off.
Yep.
So, like, if you're not even aligned in the bar, how do I set the bar?
And if you don't reach that bar, are we going to sit here and acknowledge at the end of next season that you didn't live up to expectations, or am I going to continue to hear about how great your development's been?
We'll have a lot of time on the Blazers. Yeah. We could be sitting in a run-it-back situation with a 36-win team.
I wouldn't say could be. We are going to be, but yes.
Well, you don't know that for sure.
I feel pretty confident in that take.
Okay. Keith Smith's going to join us at 7:30, live from Orlando, Florida. Is he at Disney World?
Probably.
I don't know. But we'll talk about the NBA playoffs, the first round, his thoughts on the matchups. We got some revenge brewing here in the playoffs.
First round's going to be really good. I don't care about 1-8, 2-7 in the East, and I don't care about 1-8 in the West. Every other series, you could give me something. You could give me interest in watching them.
So I did eliminate three series from my revenge list.
Cross them off the list.
Nobody cares Cavs, Heat, Hawks.
No.
Nobody cares Celtics, Magic.
Nope.
And nobody cares Mavs, Grizzlies, Thunder.
No.
Right?
That series has no relevance, and I will not watch a game of it.
Not even a little bit?
Probably not, to be honest. If it's background noise, I shouldn't say that. It's not going to be like, ooh, I got to get to a TV to see this team play. That will not be that series.
Okay, so with the caveat of you have eliminated those series from relevance in your life, let's start with the first one. Good news yesterday, Damian Lillard with a miraculous comeback from a blood clot.
How about that news update? Seemed like he was definitely out the whole series, and now he might be back at some point.
They framed it, too, as if this was, like, life-changing. This has never happened ever in the history of humanity, the way they framed it.
Caught it early, got him early treatment.
So we might have some Dame Giannis round one against the team that was in the East Finals last year that we don't talk about probably enough, the Pacers.
I got to be honest with you. If you would have asked me who Boston beat in the East Finals, I don't know if I would have been able to answer that question.
Yeah, very similar to the Blazers in the West Finals. They were up double digits multiple times.
And just blew all the games.
And blew the games. But Bucks-Pacers, 2024 NBA playoff rematch.
Yes, it is.
Milwaukee seeking revenge.
Yeah.
Will they get it? Will Dame and Giannis stay healthy, stay on the court? Giannis has been unbelievable the last, well, he's been unbelievable all year. But go look at like his last 15 games.
He has carried that team.
It's insane.
Yeah, they won their last 8 games of the regular season.
He's in his prime.
Yeah.
This is prime Giannis. How far can prime Giannis take Dame and what I would describe as a bunch of question marks at best, because I think that roster's terrible.
That, to me, is the interesting part about that series and the East in general, is that you can make, I don't even know if it's an argument, I think it's a pretty concrete fact, the best player in the Eastern Conference playoffs is Giannis. Is there a player in the East that you would say is better?
I think people would put Tatum in this.
I mean, that's ridiculous, but sure.
I'm just saying.
Tatum is a good player. He's not. He doesn't sniff Giannis's jock. He's a very good player, but he's not. It's not the same. That, to me, is the very interesting part about Milwaukee.
That's a good poll question. Does Tatum even sniff Giannis's job?
He wasn't even the best player on his own finals team, okay?
Well,
Jaylen Brown, line
year.
One.
He's going to be...
He's a good... He's had a great
year. He's going to be
first-team All-NBA. Playing with all NBA guys all around him on the best roster in the league. Congratulations, Jalen Hurts. Giannis being healthy for the first time in the playoffs in 3 years, that is one of the more interesting series to me of the entire first round. He has the ability, and individual players have the ability this time of year, to put a team on their back and win you 2 or 3 games. You know you're not going to get it from your role guys in Milwaukee every game of that series. Can they win? Can you get somebody that gets hot and wins you a random game? Can your bench win you one of the games at home, right? And then Giannis does the rest of the work. If Dame comes back at some point, Milwaukee to me becomes a fascinating team. But you opened my eyes to the stat line that he had in the last month of the regular season. They won their last 8 games. They were 8-2 in their last 10. He was averaging like 30-10. Like, he just was
crazy.
Dominant prime Giannis. And we have had back-to-back playoffs the last 2 years in which he has hardly played a lick or not played at all. Having him back healthy and at his peak in the playoffs is one of the best storylines we got going right now.
Yeah, I thought it was a good point by Steve Pfeiffer the other day where he was like, in any other year, Giannis is the league MVP with these numbers.
Yes.
And he's going to be third.
Third, yeah. He's not even in the debate. It's not even a conversation.
Oh, no, he's going to be a distant third. It's like, going to be SGA overwhelmingly.
Also receiving votes, Giannis.
He's going to be
one of those guys.
Yeah.
And let's see, he averaged 30.5 points, second in the NBA, 12 rebounds a game, and 6.5 assists. Shot 60% from the floor.
Averaged as many assists as Anthony Simons. Okay, next round of revenge. How about this one? Oh, Swag's getting up. He's nervous. He can't take it. There's too much revenge.
Too much revenge going on.
How about
on.
This one? Not that you need revenge for this series.
Mm.
Nugs Clips.
Nugs Clips.
Russell Westbrook revenge series.
Touche.
Because he's been a Clipper.
He was a Clipper. It's not a very interesting storyline to me. That's a pretty weak grade of revenge, if
Zubac
I'm going to be honest.
Versus Jokic.
Yeah, it's more interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that a revenge factor, though, if they played each other in the playoffs?
Well, European.
Yeah, I more look at, and again, you can connect this to Milwaukee, too. Like, if they are to lose and Dame doesn't come back, let's say Giannis is great, but he doesn't have enough help.
This is also, by the way, not to interrupt you, this is bubble revenge.
They famously blew
the 3-1 lead against the Nuggets.
That's right.
Now, there's no Paul George hitting the side of the backboard this time.
We don't have playoff P in this series? Is that what you're telling me?
And everybody clearly listened to our program come Monday because the Clippers are now the favorite in that series, so it's been bet so hard the other way.
They are, but Denver's the favorite in game one, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, at home. They got home court.
They're home.
So, it makes 2.5 points. It's one of the smaller spreads
of round
one. Will
Kawhi stay healthy? You know,
there's fair questions. And look, we had our buddy Dover on from Denver the other day, and maybe he is 100% right, but he doesn't ever see Jokic wearing another uniform. And maybe he's one of these rare examples. They just fired everybody. They fired their head coach. They fired their general manager.
He signed off on that.
I know he did. He was a part of it, and they ran it by him. But if they are to lose in the first round, like, I think we learned this pretty quickly. The more you don't advance in the playoffs, he got a championship, so he's had a taste of the juice. And if they get bounced in like 6 games in round one as the 4 seed, and you look at the future of the Western Conference where Luka's now in L.A., we don't know what Houston's going to be in the years to come. OKC's the youngest team in the league. You still got Wemby coming. Like, all these other waves of teams are going to come at you. That, to me, is a very interesting storyline of just for each side, for the Clippers of having the year that they've had, which I think has surprised a lot of people, and especially in the second half of the year, you can make an argument the last 2 months they've been the best team in the NBA. And then Denver, Clippers have had all this pressure. They've never really done anything. The Nuggets are now facing this weird future of we don't know who our coach and our GM is. That's a fascinating first-round matchup.
I give respect to Jokic, like an immense amount of respect, because he's one of the all-time greats. I looked at some series odds because I kind of like the Clippers in 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's +360.
Decent value if you like L.A.
But if you like L.A. and you don't care about home court, no home court, L.A. in 7's +570.
Ooh. Remember Denver famously Wiltered into Game 7 on their own floor last year.
I just don't think they have the depth, and I know it's crazy. Famous last words. I think Kawhi's going to be healthy for this one, and if he is, I really like the Clippers in this matchup. We'll see what Jokic has to say about it. Pistons-Knicks.
Pistons-Knicks, baby.
Do you know the revenge factor here?
Let's see. Who has bounced around team to team in that scenario?
This is a pretty big one. It's a pretty big...
pretty big revenge factor.
Massive.
I mean, how do people not know this?
This probably, Dirt, is the biggest one of all the revenge factors.
I mean, it's such a big... it's your segment, so I'll let you tell. I mean, yeah. It's a pretty obvious one. I'll let you share it with the people, though.
Absolutely.
Because it's such a big revenge. I'm not going to step on your toes in your segment. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I was out at a restaurant the other day, and I walked past the bar, and I heard two ladies, like, debating how big this revenge was. Like, that's how big this
revenge
is.
That's how big of a deal it is.
Tim Hardaway Jr. revenge series.
I mean, huge.
Got that contract from the Knicks. They said, thank you, bye-bye.
You're out of here.
Get out of here.
Everybody remembers that Tim Hardaway Jr. is on the Pistons.
And now he's like, yo.
Everybody in
I'm
our audience
firing
knows
away
that.
From three.
So
my
I'm
boy
taking
K.
the over on his par.
You got to hammer the over props.
Parlays together.
And by the way, Detroit owes New York. Do you know what they owe New York? Payback. From the 1992 first-round series.
I mean, I can't forget that. I can't get that out of my head.
That was a best of five. It went five games.
Three-year-old Dirt was glued to the TV in that series.
I know you were.
It was a classic in the Eastern Conference first round that nobody will ever forget. Decent value there. Pistons plus 7.5 game one.
I'm kind of leaning Knicks. I think everybody's going Pistons too hard.
I'm not saying to win the series. I'm just saying you're giving me 7.5 in game one.
Man, there's so much pressure on the Knicks.
Are we going to spread the line today? We should spread the line today on the first round.
We can, yeah.
We got a lot of NBA playoff games to gamble on.
Is there... I ask you this, because I have one more revenge factor from a series.
Yeah.
Is there a team with more pressure on them in the first round than the Knicks?
I think the Nuggets.
What's the pressure there? They fired their general manager and coach.
Well, and they've also
trading
won
Porter Murray.
Look, I don't disagree with the sentiment that they have pressure. They just won a title 2 years ago. That's the other hard part about it.
They fired everybody. So
I know they fired everybody. Clearly,
the Bucks. Maybe the Bucks.
What about the Lakers?
What's the pressure there? You're not trading.
Nah, you're just
no. I'm not saying you're going to blow anything up, but I just
what's the pressure then?
Them losing in the first round as a 3 seed would be a pretty disappointment, would it not?
I don't know.
How many more years is LeBron going to do this?
I think one.
Okay.
It's okay. So you got Luka, just didn't have
I'm not saying
time
the future, they're going to blow anything up. I just
that's what I'm asking.
They're the Lakers. The Knicks, I don't think, are going to blow anything up either.
They don't fire Tom Thibodeau?
They could fire their head coach.
They don't make a trade this offseason.
Half the team in the NBA fires their head coaches every year. I don't see them blowing up their roster and starting over if they lose that series. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I can see the Bucks.
The Bucks one's a good one. Yeah. If they lose to the Pacers in round one and Dame plays and he's healthy and he gives points, but. His season was weird.
That's the most likely blow-up scenario of first-round losers.
But like when I watched the Bucks, I didn't feel what his stats said. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, oh, Dame had 25 tonight.
It's kind of quiet.
Yeah, it wasn't Blazer 25.
9 or 10 free throws in the mix because you attack the hoop. You're not making 7 threes in a game.
He's not a great lobber, so like him and the Giannis thing, like it works, but it's not elite the way I thought it would be. The Bucks is a good. It's probably the Bucks. You're right.
Bucks
they're
is
probably
a good
making
answer.
A trade.
Yeah, that is the team. If anybody
and
is
if
to
they
lose
blow
in the
it up,
first
Doc's
round,
Doc's gone.
Well, Doc's.
I mean, he should be. I mean, yeah. Again, half the NBA fires their coach every other year. Chauncey Billups is now like the third longest tenured head coach in the NBA.
I think it's 5 or 6, but yeah.
Well, he moved up a spot when Malone got whacked.
He did,
so. Right?
Yeah, he's just climbing up that leaderboard.
He's going to keep climbing
up. Did he move
up
too? Was Taylor Jenkins there longer than he was?
I'm fairly confident Taylor Jenkins was hired before Chauncey Billups. Fairly confident.
He might be top three now.
It's like Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, if you want to count Greg Popovich.
Yeah, we don't know what Pop's doing. Okay, I have one more revenge carryover thing, and I ask you this question on the other side. Young or old? I'll tell you what I mean next on The Fan. Keith Smith's going to join us. Spot Track, national host, basketball observer, basketball knower. I don't know if he's a basketball doer.
I bet he's got a good jump shot.
Why do you think that?
I just he seems like the kind of guy who's putting shots up in the gym from time to time. I think he's got a smooth stroke.
White guy thing?
White guy thing.
You should kick off the interview. Last time
he's got
he
good
played
form.
Basketball.
So last time, not just when's the last time you shot a ball? When's the last time you got shots up?
I mean, literally yesterday.
Well, I know you do because you coach basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Keith Smith coach basketball? Does he have kids?
You were asking me last time you shot a ball.
No, Keith Smith was the last time he shot a basketball.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because that's different. Shooting basketball and actually playing, like we're getting some run in, those are very different things.
Do you think he played high school basketball?
I think he played high school basketball.
What do you think he averaged?
7.5 a game.
Whoa.
7.5 a game.
Man.
Corner threes, knock him down, maybe a fast break bucket and an offensive rebound putback.
I think he's old enough to say he didn't shoot threes because basketball, no coach wanted their players shooting threes when we played high school basketball.
Can't shoot threes back in the day?
To a game, and then it's like, yo, stop.
Come
and
on.
Then you do it anyway. Like, yo, what are you
Get
doing?
Get your shots up. Space the floor.
We had two guys
on
the team that were like,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Allowed to shoot three-pointers?
Otherwise, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
There was no shot clock.
Oh, I wish that was me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just surprised they had the three-point line when you played. Yeah,
that's why I got him back with his trombone.
He did.
All-state stuff.
Yeah, damn right he did.
All-league. It was not all-state, unfortunately.
How do you do that in band?
There's...
Made up.
No.
I'm sorry.
He hit all of his notes.
I don't want to disrespect band players out there. Music's great. You can't actually tell me you know who all-state band players are. That's not a real thing.
We had two All-State trumpet players my freshman year.
Look, system. I had a system trombone player.
McDonald's.
What were their averages?
Now I'm worried about
what were their averages?
Yeah.
My freshman year, I was the only freshman in the
97%
jazz band.
Of notes hit. Pretty solid. You can't
We
hit those
won.
Numbers.
We entered eight competitions. We won seven.
What were their averages?
Yeah, yeah.
How did
I don't
they make
know.
All
You're dominant
well, were,
team. You're winning team awards.
Yeah,
that is a band.
But
I
they
get.
Were the soloists. They were
the national, like the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. Yeah. Is that how you determine who's All-State?
That's exactly how you do it.
Ridiculous. All right, so NBA playoffs. Let's get back to revenge.
Yeah, big revenge. Where's the big revenge in
Swag's,
the West?
Seeking revenge on the trumpet players for
yes,
All-State. I actually think this is maybe the best. I don't know if this is the series of all the series for you guys. Minnesota Lakers, where is the revenge? Well, revenge is one. Anthony Edwards already seeks revenge because he feels that everybody's rooting for the Lakers in this thing.
Yep.
It's a very Michael Jordan-esque vibes yesterday at his press conference of like, I love it. And the guy was like, why? And he's like, because nobody wants the Timberwolves to win. And I'm like, oh, Michael Jordan.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
But also, go back not that long ago, Lakers knocked them out of the play-in. And Edwards was terrible in the game.
Yeah.
I believe it's 2022, 2023. It's one of those 2 years. Sorry, I should have wrote that down.
Getting first taste of play-in basketball.
They were up by 15 in L.A. Lakers came back from double digits, knocked out the Timberwolves for the play-in. Timberwolves got to the West Finals last year.
They did.
Had to do my math on that. And famously lost to Luka, so it's a Luka revenge series as well. Of like, hey, this dude knocked us out.
Remember, he put Rudy Gobert out there in some in some roller skates, and it didn't go well for him.
Another revenge factor, Rudy Gobert embarrassment revenge.
Guarding him in open space. Don't do that, Minnesota.
I don't want to fall for the media narrative, but of the series in the first round, is this the most exciting for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's not even close. It's the most exciting
not
series.
Close?
I don't think so.
Rockets-Warriors is my last revenge series.
I mean, Rockets are more. I'm telling you, outside of three series, all of them have things that will hook me in as a sports fan. This, you got Luka in LA now. How does it go? Them losing in the first round would be really funny. It doesn't mean anything long term, but I would get a nice little chuckle watching LA go down after all the talk about the Luka trade, how they're going to dominate the NBA. They might for the next 10 years.
It does mean stuff long term. It means GOAT status is going to be in question.
You can't lose in the first round. Michael Jordan never lost in the first round of the playoffs. So
that's
if LeBron is to lose, he never lost a game in the first round of the playoffs, let alone a series in the first round of the playoffs. So if LeBron is to do that, he can definitely no longer be the GOAT. So that's out of the conversation. Anthony Edwards is my favorite young player in the NBA. I love his attitude. I love his mentality. I love watching him play. If you said, hey, Dirt, you could pick one series to watch and that's all you get to watch in the first round, I wouldn't have to think very long and hard about picking the Lakers and the T-Wolves.
It'll be the primetime game, 5:30 on ABC.
I think
Saturday
every
night.
Single game that they play will be the primetime game on whatever network it's going to be on in the first round.
What should be, if you assigned one of the series to NBA TV, which one would you assign?
Of the ones we're debating, or can
of
I count
all of,
the, of all of them? I mean, Cavs versus whoever the hell wins tonight that I don't even care about.
Have you watched the Orlando Magic offense?
It's pretty bad.
I think if you saw it, you go, oh my God, I'd rather watch the Heat against the Cavs.
Well, we don't even know if it's going to be the Heat yet.
I'm just saying, Hawks, Heat, whoever it is.
The Orlando Magic that beat that Hawks team by like 25 points the other night.
Trey Young
might
at least have a
be the Celtics series. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Celtics series, too.
I mean, to
Orlando's
be honest,
terrible to watch.
I think the Cavs and whoever they're going to play, Boston and Orlando and OKC versus whoever they're going to, those should all be like be behind a paywall. Put those on like the CW. Nobody needs to watch a game of any of those series.
I think that would defeat the purpose of the paywall. Nobody would pay to watch that wall.
That's a Peacock series. That's the one that next year is going to be on Peacock. We'll put everything else will be on NBC. These are going to be on Peacock.
Final revenge, Houston, Golden State. It's pretty simple, man. It's Draymond, Dylan Brooks revenge. They've gotten into some tussles in the past.
They have.
And Ime Udoka, 2022 NBA Finals choked series,
lost
blew
to
it.
Golden State.
Should have never lost to that Warrior team.
If Jason Tatum would have showed up, he wouldn't have lost.
And for the other side of this, this is the that coach called me a bitch game series for Steph.
This one's going to have fireworks. It's going to, like, in terms of the firework rating of the first round series, I think this one's near the top of the charts. There's going to be fights. Draymond's going to somehow not get ejected. And every time I'm going to watch one of these games, I'm going to scream at my television because he is one of my least likable professional athletes of the modern
century. Also has the opportunity
to
be the game where we go, oh my God, officials, there were 900 free throws shot, and it'll be... This is where the NBA will get.
I think it's
crucified.
A question: do you want to rein him in, or are you just going to let him throw blows? Like, how aggressive are you going to be with the whistle?
Him in. It'll be interesting to see.
He better get tossing because he's going to do something to deserve to get tossed.
Well,
in
you
at
know
least
he
three
won't.
Of these games.
You know he won't. He'll go right into their face. He'll clap in their face. He'll scream at him. He'll call him f words, and they'll do to him what they do to no other player in that league, which will be all time stupid. Don't understand why he is given this. They'll do the walk away. Instead of every other player that does that, they almost step to him to challenge him to call a T.
Yeah.
And I just don't. He did it in the Memphis game.
Yeah.
Like, he should have gotten a technical.
He just did it the last time Houston
foul.
And Golden State played. He was in the face of the official the entire second half.
He did something to get a technical.
He got one, and then they wouldn't throw him.
Yes.
They wouldn't toss him. He got the free, baited him into the first, and then they wouldn't toss him.
I'm all time, like, he's going to get his due.
I'm going to scream at the television watching this series.
But also, what you said, like, he is absolutely in my all time most unlikable athletes category.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of people that I just can't. I don't like watching. I don't like personally.
Who else is on that?
I don't know. I'd have to really think long and hard about that. But he's if I'm giving you my Mount Rushmore of this century's least likable athlete, he's number one.
What
he is number one.
Beverly.
Yeah. I mean, look, Beverly was bad. He was annoying.
Never an All-NBA guy. Never a Defensive Player of the Year. Averaged like 8 points per game and barked and clapped and laughed at Damian Lillard.
He did. And then they choked away a 3-1 playoff series. So that at least, it came full circle for him. I'd have to think long and hard about my Mount Rushmore.
Who in
probably
the NFL
some golfers
is the one you hate?
Like Patrick Reed's in the mix there.
That's awkward for you.
God, I can't
look like
him.
I do. You don't look as much like him anymore.
You know who sounds like him is our buddy Lyshka from Pelican.
Really?
If you listen to those two guys talk side by side.
You and Lyshka are Patty Reed?
I think we're both Patty Reed doppelgangers in different ways. I kind of look like him. He kind of sounds like him. It's a weird mixture.
All right, more NBA playoff chatter is around the corner. I guess we'll be spraying the line. College football is running rampant. This Colorado player said something that's hilarious. Also, a coach in college football is basically saying these NIL requests are out of sorts. Did this musical artist unite the country? She might be suggesting that she did. And we'll get to that today as well. But coming up next to the Daily Ticker, Keith Smith. Spot Track, he joins us coming up next for his thoughts on the first round. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, presented by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. The NBA playoffs begin tomorrow morning. I got one more set of playing games tonight to finalize the field. Joining us now to talk about that and the state of your Portland Trailblazers is our good buddy Keith Smith, covering the NBA for a long time for Spot Track and the front office show at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. Keith, good morning to you. We have to start with a personal question, and that is, did you play high school basketball? And if you did, how many points per game did you average?
I did. It wasn't very many.
Like sub five? How many field goals a game are we thinking?
I was mostly a shooter, so probably
told you.
I would say maybe 9.
Let's go!
In my best year.
Let's go, baby.
I nailed it.
I told you he was a shooter, and I guess 7 points per game. So thank you for making me look
Keith,
smart.
How tall are you, if you don't mind us asking?
5'9".
Let's go, baby.
5'9"?
Sharp shooter. Just stand. Now, where was your sweet spot on the floor? Did you have, like, a spot you go to?
Yeah, I was pretty good from the corner. Either way.
Three for three. I think NBA Dirt's back. NBA Dirt's back. I nailed it.
High school Dirt's back.
Keith Smith, we love you now forever, and that was great. Let's get to just asked a question about the NBA playoffs first round. Who has the most pressure on them? We all kind of had different takes and then landed on one team. I'm curious to ask you that going into round one. Which team has the most pressure on them to get the job done?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's probably it's whoever – it's the Nuggets and Clippers. I struggle to separate the two of them. The reason why is the Nuggets, it feels like we're right on the tipping point of, you know, even more major change coming. And that would mean, obviously, with the roster at this point, because we've seen, you know, we've already seen the front office is going to change over. They got rid of Michael Malone. And then the Clippers, it feels like we're, again, here I am, Charlie Brown, put the football down. This time I'm going to kick it. All right, maybe the Clippers, why not, right? They look pretty good, and, you know, who knows? But it feels like if they aren't at least extremely competitive in this series, maybe they even need to win. It feels like another team where we could see some roster change coming just out of a sense of, all right, we've kind of banged our head against the wall with this group to some extent, but we need to change it up a little bit more. So I would go with those two. I mean, the Thunder are under incredible pressure when you go 68-14 with a historically great scoring differential. I just don't think there's any chance they're going to lose in the first round.
Yeah. Is there a team in the East in the first round? One of the players has been dominating at the end of the series, had a great year in general. Giannis, they reportedly are going to get Dame back, which is great because we're all rooting for him out here. But it hasn't quite gone the way that many may have thought it would, including the players themselves. When we talk about pressure, if I tell you Dame and Giannis play and they still lose to the Pacers in a first-round series, that's probably got to fall into this category as well. And what do you think they should do if they don't win that first-round series?
Yeah, I agree with you. That would definitely be something that then could turn in a different direction in Milwaukee. And I think if Dame was out for the whole series and they lose, you could kind of say, well, we didn't have one of our guys, and let's run it back with some tweaks around the edges and go. If he's able to be back, let's say by game 3 or 4 and be some level of what he usually is, yeah, then the pressure's on for them. And why that exists is there's this feeling around, you know, a lot of people around the NBA that at some point Giannis is going to look around and say, you know what, I've kind of done it. And part of that is interviews he's given himself where he said, well, I won a title here. You know, I can't win the first title again. You know, I brought them there. You know, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, look to be somewhere else. And then after Luka got traded, he's like, I don't know, maybe I'll get traded. And it feels like a little bit like that might be like, hey, let me just set the stage here to set everybody up just so it doesn't come out of nowhere if that's the direction it goes. So, yeah, I would say of East teams, them, and then I would say probably the Knicks. The Knicks are an extremely expensive team. They're a team that's made a lot of, we're going to lock into this core group of guys and, you know, move forward with these guys. And their team, if they stumble against the Pistons or if it's a non-competitive second-round series against the Celtics, who, yes, I am already putting in the second round, you know, they would be, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of questions asked about that Knicks team.
Yeah, we're talking with Keith Smith, our good friend, covering the NBA for a long time, contributor to Spot Track, the front office show, at Keith Smith NBA on Twitter. You can go follow him there. You know, it's interesting in the playoffs this year because I think in the NBA we have a general thought of, until I've seen you do it, I have a hard time envisioning it happening. It's kind of weird, and I operate that way, and even though I'm wrong all the time, I kind of do it to the new team that comes along again. Houston is a bit of that in the Western Conference this year, where they're the 2 seed. I believe in Vegas they're the underdog in that series. Mm-hmm. They're a very small favorite in game one at home. And Golden State, look, the pedigree is there. Steph, playoff Jimmy, Draymond. There's going to be fireworks in that series. I'm just curious what you make of Houston and a team that maybe doesn't have a true number one superstar, but clearly a good collection of parts, and how they fit into this Western playoff picture.
Yeah, it does feel like in the NBA there's a path from rebuilding to having a pretty good season, but you're not really quite there. Then the next year you take a step where it's, you know, now you're an established playoff team, but it's really that next year is when you're establishing yourself as a team that's a threat to win in the playoffs, maybe even be a contender. That's where the Thunder have walked that road. The Cavs have walked that road. Boston walked it and then kind of got stuck for a little bit there. So it's that seems to be the tried and true path. And that's where the Rockets are. And I'm completely with you where the NBA, more so than any other league out there, were like, well, you got to prove it to me. You got to prove. In the NBA, the best team almost always wins a series because it's a seven-game series. It's hard to kind of, you know, pull off a full major upset there unless something gets a little sideways with an injury or something like that. So I think we're in a spot with the Rockets where they've got a chance against the Warriors. I think they've got a better chance than a lot of people are giving them. I'm seeing a lot of the talking heads even suggest, like, the Warriors are going to breeze through this because the Rockets have never been there. I'm worried about their offense. I don't know how they're going to score against a very good Golden State defense. I think that game's going to be a rock fight, or that entire series, rather, going to be a rock fight. It's the series I think I'd most like to bet on maybe having an ejection or two or a couple scuffles with some guys. But, yeah, I mean, they've got a chance. They really defend. Amen Thompson defended Stephen Curry as well as I've ever seen anybody defend Steph just a few weeks ago. So I think it's going to be a fun series. That, you know, it's the Warriors, it's Steph, so I get it. But I think that's going to be a competitive one.
Who do you like in the Wolves-Lakers?
I like the Lakers. Just, it's Luka, it's LeBron. Like, they're, you know, they've been there, done that. But I think, again, I think Minnesota has things they can do. Minnesota has to use their size advantage in this, and the Wolves bench. Naz Reid and Dante DiVincenzo are better than anybody the Lakers are going to come with off the bench. If the Wolves bench can't outplay the Lakers bench by a significant margin, they're in trouble. So those things can go their way, but I'm going to be hard-pressed to pick against LeBron and Luka in a first-round series.
Final thing for us, because we appreciate the time. You nailed our high school bingo that we had before you came on, which was great. I want to ask you about our Blazers. I know they're not on the radar necessarily for you right now. We got playoffs. You're doing a lot of front office stuff as well, off-season narratives. But our Blazers kind of, they finished just outside of the play-in. They were over expectation on the win-loss situation. We all kind of looked at this and said, they're going to try to lose because Cooper Flagg's going in the draft. And so bottom five, here we come in the league. They did not do that. They actually tried to do the play-in. And now they basically say that they don't care about the lottery, that they could just be 10th and they'd be cool with that. They also don't have a superstar on their team. When you look at the way Portland is building what they are, do they remind you of any team currently in the playoffs? And what do you just make of the philosophy of tanking for a couple years and then just not tanking anymore when the draft is the best?
Yeah, the team they remind me of a little bit right now is probably Memphis, where it was this kind of steady build through adding young talent around, you know, some veteran guys that they brought in as well. But there was always felt like there's a cap on that, and that cap was always just shy of being a, you know, true title contender. I think Portland has a lot of interesting young guys. I'm super excited about Scoot Henderson and the improvement he showed in year one to year two. And I've been, you know, very much, I've probably even said it on your show here, don't give up on young point guards too early. Sometimes it takes them a while to figure it out, and you're seeing the signs there. I think Shaden Sharp went up a level. Tomani Kamara is a guy every other team in the league would love to have. I think Chauncey Billups, the fact that he got that group with almost a revolving door of players in and out of lineup to defend, you know, right around the middle of the pack, is really good. I think there's a chance that we could see them be a playoff team next year, or at least in the play-in tournament and fighting for one of those playoff spots. But is that really where you want to be? Ideally, you want to be a title contender, and that's where I think you're right. There's no one you're looking at saying that is the star level guy that will lead us. Now, maybe the basketball gods reward it and they say, hey, you did it the right way. We're going to give you a little lottery luck here to help you out, or maybe they just nail a draft pick a little further down. But you got to find it somewhere. You're either going to develop from the guys you have. We'll see. You know, maybe Henderson, maybe Sharp. We'll see. Maybe Kamara can go up another level as an offensive player. But maybe they get a little luck in the draft. Maybe there's a trade that falls their way. But it looks like it's a good team, but it's a good team with a cap on it, you know, if everything kind of falls in place. And that's if everything falls in place. So that's the struggle. That's why these teams bottom out and say, no, we got to go get a guy, especially when it's someone like Cooper Flagg in the draft.
Yeah, he's one of our favorites. He was a sharpshooter from the corner, always a threat to knock down the open jumper.
Damn
Keith
right
Smith, NBA on Twitter, Spot Track Front Office Show. Keith Smith, thanks as always for the time, man. Enjoy the playoffs, and let's do this again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
There you go. Keith Smith, wow. Talking a little NBA hoops.
I want to just...
Did I nail that or did I nail
boy,
that?
You
I mean, I
it.
Just... Look, I pulled that one out
great
of my
job.
You know what, but sometimes you get it
I mean,
right.
He's a white guy. You just went with the generic white guy label.
Jim Rat, he was slapping the floor, okay? He worked hard on defense, okay?
5'9". I had Keith Smith at like 6'2".
You had him a little bit bigger than that?
I just had him taller, yeah.
Yeah.
I had 6'2 in my head. I don't
I just
know
feel like if you're covering the NBA for that, like you have to have a passion for basketball. Not everybody had to play high school level basketball to have a passion for the game or to be able to cover it. He struck me as a kind, gym rat, knocking down shots. Good shooter, man. Good form.
The fact that you're like, and where was your sweet spot? And he's like, oh, my sweet spot was right in the corner. I'm like, oh my God, of course
he nailed it. Hey, do you know the Daily Ticker every day is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company? We have had the return of warmer weather, which means Pelican Brewing is bringing back its summer seasonal beer, the Pelicano. It's available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. A couple of those are going to be delightful today. It's going to be almost 80 degrees, I believe.
Is it
if
really?
My numbers are correct this afternoon.
That's called sunburn weather where I'm from.
It's called beach weather. It's called pelican weather. That's what we call it, baby.
Sunset at Pacific City today is probably going to be immaculate.
Lots to get to in the final hour. Coming up next, something that slipped under the cracks and through the radar yesterday. Will this fix this issue? That is next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll get to some fun with audio at the top of the hour.
How about the Grizzlies, huh? Look at us.
How about we are the Grizzlies without Ja Morant?
I mean, look, you could say what you want on Ja and how good he is versus what Scoot's been so far, but I like that Scoot's not at least tossing grenades.
He's not tossing grenades. Yeah. He's not beating up 17-year-old kids. So
it's true.
We got that.
Flashing the guns on IG.
Going for us.
Yeah.
Got that going for us.
By the way, listeners sent in a great sunset yesterday. I saw the sunset here, and I'm like, I bet you it's amazing.
God,
the
it's a good sunset. He was at the coast yesterday.
Yeah. This listener sent out a nice picture.
It's delightful.
I know.
So fun with audio coming up top of the hour, and then at 8:15 we'll talk to our buddy Ryan Clark from the Oregonian, because Oregon State's playing their spring game or spring foray scrimmage practice thing this weekend.
And it won't be televised.
It will evidently not be televised, but we'll ask further questions of Ryan coming up in a bit. We will spring the line in the final hour. I wanted to get to this. It was in the notes yesterday. Just kind of slipped through the radar, short segment. I thought it was interesting. A problem that has persisted in college football is the idea of teams being able to essentially fake injuries. Now, my team has done this. Remember a couple years ago when they were in Seattle, and Terrence Ferguson, I think, was on their last drive of the game before they ultimately missed the field goal, and they didn't have any timeouts left. And Terrence Ferguson got up, and they were like, go down, go down. And they made him go down and, hold his knee, walk off the field, and you get basically a free timeout out of it. It's a way to stop the clock, or it's a way to slow down offenses that use tempo. Here's your new rule change. Will it fix it? If medical personnel are forced to enter the field of play to evaluate an injured player after the ball is spotted. So this is not like the play ends and a guy goes down, you don't have any timeouts left. This is the ball plays over, ball's been spotted, and then somebody goes down. The player's team will be charged a timeout. If they don't have a timeout remaining, you will be assessed a 5-yard delay of game penalty.
Yeah. This should have been happening a decade ago.
Yeah, why didn't we not do this
sooner? Been happening at the height of when Cal did this against Oregon.
It's pretty obvious when somebody goes down And now you're just going to tell your guys, like, hey, don't, if you think maybe you're a little woozy or wobbly after a play, because some guys will try and get up and then realize, wait a minute, I, you know, my ankle hurts worse than I thought. Then you go down after that. I think you just got to teach your guys of, like, if you think you're injured, you're not going to be able to go the next play, we need you to just go down after the play, because you could be assessed a penalty when you lose, or a timeout.
Yeah, when you lose the timeouts, you get the coaches on board.
Yeah.
Because that's the last thing that they don't want to lose that. So.
Or not to mention if it's third and four and you got to give them a 5-yard penalty because you went down because of tempo.
I mean, like, it's egregious when it happens.
It's really bad.
So I'm glad they're at least stepping up to do something about this. I would just also say you're 12 years too late.
A little too late. Lane Kiffin is one of the main users of this. His pictures have been all over the graphics announcing this rule change. So, what the hell took you so long? I don't know. But at least it seems like a step in the right direction. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We will spring the line at 8:30. We got a full slate of NBA playoffs. While we were talking to Keith Smith, I put a parlay in during that conversation.
Really?
I'll tell you what that is at 8:30.
All right.
Our buddy Ryan Clark of the Oregonian will join us at 8:15. We'll talk a little Oregon State spring football. Our first look, if you're there, I guess, at Malik Murphy and what he looks like at quarterback. So we'll talk to him coming up at 8:15. Let's start the final hour, though, with some fun with audio. A rare bit of honesty from a college football head coach who is continuing to become one of my favorites. And I think we solved all the world's problems. All the world's problems have been solved by one individual, and she's going to inspire you next on The Fan.